Stand up on your own 2 feet with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.
Hi, I'm Adam.
And I'm Sabine. Welcome to the 21st episode of Robots. Today we'll be talking about humanoid robots, or robots that resemble me and you, at least in some shape or form. We first speak with Davide Facconti, project leader of the REEM project, one of the few European contenders in this field. We then speak with Junho Oh from Korea, who was the general chair of the last humanoid conference, for his snapshot view of the field. He'll also give us an overview of the Hubo humanoids developed in his lab.
But first, here's Christine with the latest news in robotics.
Thanks, Adam. The Yokohama Fire Department in Japan has enlisted a rescue robot to help recover victims from earthquake and other disaster zones. The robot is built around a large metal compartment equipped with two sets of tracks on either side. It is unique in that it has an extendable tray that allows it to pull victims into its belly where it can monitor vital signs throughout the rescue operation. The robot will be controlled by a remote operator and use infrared cameras to allow operations in conditions with poor visibility. U.S. company Astrobotic Technology and researchers at Carnegie Mellon University have presented their design for a small lunar robot. The robot will help prepare NASA's lunar outpost, which is set to begin operations in 2020. NASA's lunar mission is faced with the challenge of simultaneously ensuring a short distance for cargo transfer between the landing pad and the outpost, while ensuring the outpost's safety from flying lunar dirt and rocks propelled by rockets landing and taking off on the pad. The newly designed robot weighs about 150 kilograms and has the size of a riding mower. It will be able to move 1,300 tons of dirt on the moon to construct a 3-meter-high semicircular berm protecting the lunar outpost. For more information and discussion on this week's news, including Astrobotic's lunar robot and the new rescue robot enlisted at Yokohama Fire Department, visit our forum at www.robotspodcast.com/forum.
Davide Facconti is the leader of the REEM project, which aims at developing a new breed of humanoid robot. His team, sponsored by Pell Robotics out of the United Arab Emirates, but based in an office in Barcelona, has spent the last 3 years developing a full-sized humanoid robot from scratch. The fruit of their labor, the REEM B, was recently presented in a press conference in Abu Dhabi to a huge reception of journalists and VIPs, including His Highness Sheikh Tanun, and proved that humanoid robots are becoming mainstream worldwide. Now let's go to the interview with Adam.
Hi, Davide. Welcome to the Robots Podcast.
Okay, hi.
Can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, well, I'm the project leader of REEM, that is basically a humanoid robotic project located in Barcelona that is done by the company PAL Technology. PAL Technology, the sponsor of the project, is from Abu Dhabi, of the United Arab Emirates. But the team that developed the robot is mostly Spanish, and the robot was built in Spain.
Maybe let's start with a very simple question. Why build humanoid robots?
Well, this is a good question. For us, of course, we don't see at the moment a possibility to commercialize such robots. Do human robots for us is a way to do research in several fields that are still very challenging in robotics. So it's a matter of integration of hardware and electronic design. Of course, a lot of algorithms related to manipulation, biped walking, and so on. So I like to define this project like a catalyst of innovation. It means a way to develop several core modules from hardware and software point of view that could be used in different robots in the future.
Your latest creation, the Reembi, has been seen at various conferences and events around the world in the last year. Can you describe this robot to us?
Well, the robot it's really similar to some Japanese and Korean robots. So it's 1 meter and a half tall. It's about 60 kilograms. Of course, it's able to walk and to grasp objects. It's got several skills. We can say that it's quite similar to other famous robots, at least from the point of view of shape.
Okay, what about skills then? What kind of stuff can it do?
Well, what it makes this robot different is mainly that it's able to lift heavy objects. In fact, the robot can lift up to 12, 14 kilograms and walk carrying such weight, and as well is the probably the first biped robot that has integrated the simultaneous localization and mapping. This is quite common on wheeled robots, but it's pretty unique for a humanoid. So this is the main difference compared with other robots. As well, the robot is able to recognize faces, some voice commands, also some object detection that, of course, is needed to grasping. And our team is working also in dynamic dynamic simulation, biped walking, wall body control.
It's interesting that you mentioned SLAM, actually. I noticed that you do it in a very interesting way, using laser range scanners in the feet. Can you tell us why you guys decided to do it this way?
Well, basically because the problem to use a laser on by the robot was in the past size and weight. Of course, this kind of robot are always very constrained because they have many motors and everything is packed inside the robot. So we needed a small sensor. Luckily, we managed to find some commercially available. And it was important to keep the laser beam horizontal. And for this reason, the feet are much more stable points to put the lasers.
Do you see any problems if there's a gap in the floor or something like that? I understand you can detect very low obstacles, but what about higher obstacles like a table, for example? You can detect the legs, but what about the surface of the table?
Yes. In that case, we have ultrasonic rangefinders in the torso of the robot. So that are mainly focused on a big obstacle like a table or maybe a human being.
Okay. Going back to comparing maybe your robot to other robots, companies like Honda, for example, they've been working for over 20 years now building humanoid robots, 11, 12 different prototypes. You've only been working on this for how long? For 4 years right now, I guess.
Right. It's 4 years, and you should think that the first prototype, Reembi, was built in just 1 year. And that is was pretty unique. When I started this job, a lot of experts, and some of them have been interviewed by you, said that it was impossible to have a humanoid in just 1 year. Anyway, we managed to do it, and that was Reembi. And we have got the second generation, as you said, in 4 years, and I think it's really interesting because It means that we don't have to think that only Japanese can do robots of this kind. I mean, if you have a skilled team, doesn't matter really where you live.
Well, it's definitely very impressive. How did you pull it off, though? What does it mean? Does it mean having a very big team, lots of funding, or is maybe the technology already a lot of it available? What brought you to build this in the first prototype in just 1 year and the second one a few years later?
Yeah, well, the first team wasn't big at all. It was made by just six people, and I was very happy with my team, but because it was very motivated. From point of view of funding, of course, something that was unique in our team is that we weren't under any bureaucratic constraint. So we had a budget, and we were able to use it very easily. And so this speed up a lot the process of manufacturing. And about technologies, of course, it's much easier to build robots today than it was 5 or 10 years ago, because electronic is much smaller and there are many more products available. So it's definitely easier to build a complex robot, of course, if you have some idea of how you should build them.
Speaking of funding, actually, like you said, your work is sponsored by PAL Technology from the United Arab Emirates. And it's a company, according to their website, they specialize in desalination plants and security systems. What exactly is the link between them and robotics? And why are they sponsoring a humanoid robot design?
Okay, well, we should think that at the head of PAL Technology, there is Isagnes Tagnoun, that is one of the sheikhs of Abu Dhabi. And so it's not really, the point is that this person truly believed that robotics could improve the quality of life of people in the future. So is a visionary, I would say, like myself, mm-hmm. And he believed that it was worth to finance this project to improve robotics. So it's not really related to a business that PAL Technology has, but it's related to the vision of the boss of this company.
Okay. So maybe on a more general scale, you say that His Highness Sheikh Tagnoun is interested in robotics. What about, I'm not sure you can answer this question even, but do you know much about the Middle East in general in terms of robotics and what kind of interest there is over there and where they see applications of robots in the future?
Well, from the interest from a scientific point of view is pretty unique. Because I'm not aware that there are other projects in the Middle East about robotics, I mean serious projects. And from the commercial point of view, we are trying to find some application of our robot, of course, to some basic service. And well, of course, anyone knows that it's quite tricky to find a good market for complex robots. But anyway, I believe we will manage to commercialize some of our robots in the future. But anyway, I can't say that it's common to have in the Middle East to have a research project in robotics.
Okay. You and your team were recently in Abu Dhabi presenting the Reem B to lots of dignitaries and princes, including His Highness Sheikh Tagnoun. Can you tell us a little bit about this experience?
Well, you're talking about the event in June, right?
Yes, exactly.
Well, it was definitely one of the key milestones of our project because it was really the moment for us to demonstrate that what we have achieved not only to our sponsor, that was of course expecting us to succeed in the presentation, but also to all the world. In fact, you can probably, no one knows about the RIMB before this event, so it was really an opportunity for us to show the results we have got, and well, basically have the RIMB known abroad. And well, it was really an exciting event, and really important for us. And I can tell you that it was something that I would never forget in my life.
I definitely saw the YouTube video and it was very impressive. It seems like everything went without a hitch.
Yes, actually, it was everything fine. And well, anyone of us was very nervous because you know that in complex, I mean, of course, there are big companies like Honda that knows that the robot will never fail. But since we are a smaller team, and of course, we have still a lot of work to do. We were very worried about what could happen during the presentation that was live. But at the end, I think went fine.
Well, it's good news, but I guess as we all know, there's always that problem that everything works until the day of the presentation. And I know you guys have done a lot of demos and stuff. I'm sure you have some good stories to tell us. Any last minute, maybe not disasters, but accidents?
Well, actually, we had some technical problems the day before. Mm-hmm. They were related to basically was just one of the robot is full of wires. You can imagine with so many motors and sensors, and there was one wire that was with the cuts. Mm-hmm. In the foot, and well, it was a bit scary to find it the day before because you never know that maybe you have some short circuit the day of the presentation. But so definitely we had some last minute problem.
As a last question, perhaps, now I've seen you guys have been showing the RIMB all over the world in the last year. What lies in the future for the RIMB? What can we see in the RIMB C, and when can we see it?
Well, it will take a while. In the last 2 months, my team is almost double as much than before. There are a lot of new people that join us, and what we expect is that the RIMB C will take a while, probably a couple of years before being constructed, but it will represent a big step forward for us. So we really expect with the new robot to demonstrate, to get to much closer to the state of the art of robotics. Maybe we will not beat our direct competitor from Honda, but we hope to get as close as possible to them. So nothing will take a while, but I think will be we'll see a big difference between RIMB and RIMC.
Okay, what kind of skills are you looking to integrate, for example, things that Honda has and that the RIMB doesn't have?
Well, basically, we want to improve the walking skill of the robot. That, of course, the Honda Zimo Masters. And what we want to have different is to maintain the strength of the robot that Azimo doesn't have, and also the ability of the robot to get up and lay down on the ground by itself.
Great. Well, Davide, thank you very much for the interview. It was a pleasure having
you
on Robots. And we hope to see the RIMB C sometime soon.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Junho Oh is the director of the Hubo Lab at the Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology, where he's developed several versions of the Hubo robot. Uncontent with being able to move on their own two legs, His robots can also hop on a Segway-like vehicle and drive around. His latest robot, the Hubo FX1, has even raised the bar in bipedal locomotion by being able to transport people. As the general chair of the last International Conference on Humanoid Robotics, we'll be asking him for his expert view on the state-of-the-art in this field.
Hi, Junho. Welcome to Robots.
Hello, Sabin.
You were the general chair of the last International Conference on Humanoid Robots. Could you give us a snapshot of the state-of-the-art in humanoid robotics?
Yeah, it was held in the first day of December to third day of December last year. And there are about 200 specialists gathered in one spot in Daejeon, Korea. And we shared the latest idea about humanoid robots. We found that there are increasingly more and more interest in humanoid robots. So the last year, we had somewhere 150 persons, but now we have 200 persons. Most of them presented their latest work concerning about humanoid robots. There are basically the several interests. The first part is humanoid platform. So they are interested in building humanoid robot itself as a machine. And then the second group is interested in a little bit more about the move that humanoid. So developing walking algorithms and making stabilizer robots and how can they control the robot. That is the second part. And thirdly, there are people who is interested in intelligence. They are going to put some kind of intelligence to the humanoid robot that make the human robot can interact with human, okay? And next thing is the whole body motion research. That means to perform human robot more naturally, then we have to design the motion pattern very beautifully without losing stability. That is another big part. And another one is the navigations. The navigation means how human robots walk around in our living environment. And and also vision and voice recognition, etc. And another big issue is human-robot interface interaction. It means that how humanoid robot can respond against human's intention. That is the general idea of the Humanoid Robot Conference at last year.
Looking at all these areas in humanoid robotics, what research problems would you say have been solved, and what are today's main challenges?
Yeah, there are, we can categorize two big groups. First group is humanoid robot platform technology. And second group is the intelligence, it's kind of software part. The both part does have many problems unsolved yet. For example, say the humanoid platform means that we should have a very reliable and robust humanoid platform. It can perform any motion in living environment. So to make that one, we should have very good actuator, like as electric motors or pneumatic cylinders or hydraulic cylinders type things. That is actuator, we call it. And we should have very good actuators to build such kind of good humanoid robot. But until now, existing actuator is not good enough to perform good for the humanoid robot. So we are moving humanoid robot just barely moving. So that's the reason that humanoid robot cannot survive in real environment. So it is not very strong yet, not very fast yet, okay? So that is the humanoid platform issue. Second big issue is kind of software. I better say it is intelligence. Human robot should have certain level of intelligence to interact with the human, but these days technology, not even for the humanoid, for the old robots, intelligence is working at laboratory level, research level. So it can understand not more than 100 words or not more than 100 sentences. And also it cannot understand exact intention of human. So the lots of intelligence or vision type things are tested in the lab, but it is not quite ready to implement it to humanoid robot to be used in real situation. So those two topics are our major challenges.
What type of demonstrations did you have at the conference?
Yes, we did have the participants visited Huber Lab at KAIST, and they saw our new version of Huber. We call it Huber 2, and also they experienced Huber FX1 is human riding machine, and also they saw the Huber's demonstration of running. And that is the part of lab tour. And also we conducted a kind of small exhibition. So we had six companies came to demonstrate their work, and one of them are from France, I remember. The name of the robot was Aldebaran. It high about 2 feet, about 60 centimeters, and it is very versatile, small size humanoid robot. So it can dance, it can read the text, and it can respond for the human's the verbal command. So that was quite interesting. And another company showed us that also small size humanoid robot, but this one is kind of kit. They are selling part by part, so anyone can build their own humanoid robot with the discrete parts. So that was quite interesting. And the remaining other company showed very good simulation software can simulate humanoid robot. So before making and before testing humanoid robot, you can simulate its behavior and movement and all the power by the software. So they're graphically very beautiful, and it looks very nice. So it was the Korean company who developed the software.
You started speaking of the Huber Lab, of which you are the director. Could you present the Huber robot more in detail to us?
Yes. Huber robot was developed in year 2004, and that robot was actually first Korean humanoid robot, and after that, Korea has become second nation who has owned humanoid robot after Japan. It does have some unique feature that it can move 5 fingers independently, and also it does not have any bulky backpack behind, and also it does have 2 eyes, and each eye can move independently, and also it can walk up to 1.5 kilometers per hour. It weighs about 60 kilograms. And exterior, it is complete self-contained humanoid robot, means that everything is wireless, so it should have battery in it, and it can communicate with the wireless LAN, so we can control it from outside, and also it does have some autonomous function. So it can watch the object, and it can track the object. It can follow the object. So basically, Huber can perform basic feature of human robots. And we have Huber FX1, that is human riding machine, and also we have Albert Huber in year 2005. Albert Huber is the Android android-type humanoid robot. That means that it does have human-like face. Actually, the face look after Albert Einstein, so we call it Albert Hubo. And the head part can express very different kind of facial expression, including laughing, angry, and gloomy, sad, etc. And also, it can walk. So this is very unique robot, which does have human-like face with the walking body.
Maybe how big is the Hubo robot?
How big?
Mm-hmm.
Its height is 1.3 meters, 130 centimeters, and it weighs about 60 kilograms. In the case of Albert Hubo, its height is about 1.4 meters, and it weighs about 65 kilograms. And Hubo FX1, it weighs about 140 kilograms, but it can handle more than 100 kilograms of freight. Means that anyone who does not over 100 kilograms, he can ride on the Hubo FX1.
So basically, the Hubo FX1 is a chair with legs which can transport human
exactly.
beings.
Yes, exactly. It does have two legs, and also it has a chair on it. So anybody can ride or sit on that chair very comfortably. It can be controlled by joystick. So rider can control the machine, go forward, go backward, and turn, and left and right, and also up and down. That robot was developed to demonstrate that the human can ride on legged machine. Usually, when you have some difficulties for walking, then you ride on wheelchair, but the wheelchair cannot go over steps or cannot go over ditches, but usually leg can go over such kind of obstacles. We intended to initiate that kind of possibilities. So we checked that that kind of two-leg biped, the human riding machine, is working, but we did not demonstrate the stair up or the ditch over yet because we have to solve a little bit more technical problems. But it demonstrated that it is possible to ride on that biped machine.
That's really interesting. Would a human be frightened, perhaps, of riding on such a machine, or do you think this is something which is wanted?
Yeah, I found that they become very fun. The feeling when you ride on this machine, the feeling is that just very similar to ride on elephant or camel. So it moves side by side, and it has a very good controller. It stabilizes himself all the way, so it does have some active damping mechanism and damping algorithm. So when you ride on that machine, that you feel at first time you may be a little bit more scary, but after experiencing ride on that machine, they feel that it's a very fun machine. So usually children like ride on that machine all the way.
Do the humans have to stay very still, or can the robot compensate for the motion of humans?
A robot compensate the disturbance motion. Usually during walking, I ask them to be a little bit more relaxed, not to move too much. But if it is stood with your two-leg rest position, it can register very big disturbance from outside. Basically, we designed that robot to compensate external disturbance so it can cope with a certain level of disturbance all the way.
So your robots are very good at balancing themselves, since for the Hubo robot, you also developed a transporter, which is sort of like a Segway. Could you present
exactly.
that?
Yeah. The reason we make we call Hubo Way is that still biped walking is somewhat slow at this moment. So maximum speed is 1.5 kilometers and maximum, but usual walking speed is just somewhere around 1.2 kilometers an hour. So we think that it is not very fast for the moving. That's the reason we built the kind of hubroway like balance wheel transportation for him, and it's working very well. And when he rides on the machine, he can run up to 10 kilometers per hour. So we found that this is a very, very effective way to move longer distance with that kind of transportation mechanism.
Maybe for the future, where do you see your Hubo robots going?
There are many humanoid robots at this time, including Asimo and etc., including Hubo also. We already say that it can walk, it can run, it can go up the stairs. But actually, that is the very first step. It is not, that walking is not very robust yet. Means that it cannot register against external disturbance yet. The small disturbance is okay. But usually, for walking outside with human, it should be very strong against the external disturbance. But these days, technology cannot solve that stability problem yet completely. So I believe that we just make the robot start to walk, but the remaining task is that how can we make them more stabilized and more robust and more faster. That kind of task is very time consuming and also very difficult problems. So in research-wide, we are going to improve walking and improve stabilization and also improving safety factors. That is in the research area. And also lots of people expect that such kind of humanoid robot can live together in the future. But my expectation is that it will take a little bit longer time to have such kind of robot at home. They're not 5 years, not 10 years. I think that you have to wait a little bit more than that period, because as I mentioned, that we need better actuators and better reduction systems, and also we have to find better control algorithms, and also the intelligence problem should be more improved to be used at home.
And finally, are you also looking in the Hubo-human interactions?
Yes, we are always doing the research in my lab. Yes, we do. As I mentioned before, that it is working on research level. So research level means that it is working with very well-conditioned environment. So it is not robust against the noise and the ambient lights. And also it is working with the very even floor. So we are testing many human-robot interaction, and we have very good result for that, at the research level and the laboratory level.
Thank you, Junho, for being here with us on Robots.
Okay, thank you very much. It is my great pleasure to talk with you.
And that's it for this episode of Robots. For more information on our guests, visit our website at www.robotspodcast.com. Our next show will air in 2 weeks. In the meantime, don't forget to stay in touch through our forum for the latest news and hot topics in robotics.
Thanks for listening. Hope to see you in 2 weeks.
Stand up on your own 2 feet with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.